हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Top of 28. The numeral jivas, as spiritual sparks emanating from the oversoul in the form of pencils of rays of effulgence, have no relation with the mundane world when they come to know themselves to be the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. They are then incorporated into the realm of Vaikuntha. But when they desire to lord it over Maya, forgetting their real identity, the egotistic principle Shambhu, entering into their entities, makes them identify themselves as separated enjoyers of mundane entities. Hence, Shambhu is the primary principle of the egotistic mundane universe and of perverted egotism in jivas that identifies itself with their limited material bodies. And so there's the primary principle of the egotistic mundane universe. Right? And then the perverted egoism of the jivas. Right? So you have the element of this Purusha element anyway within the material world. Then you have the specific perversion of that where the living entities are trying to enjoy the material world in a specific way. Right? So that's all coming then from Shambhu. Right? But it's something that we're interested in, so it's not that it's being forced upon us. It's just you're interested, so you get it.
Right.
Yes.
The primary is not perverted.
No. I mean, it's not in him. It is in us.
In him, it's not material?
No. Well, he's not material. Because he doesn't see anything separate from the Lord. He's a devotee of the Lord. You know, and his wife is a servant of the Lord. But he is servant of the Lord. She is his energy. Right? So then there's no problem.
He's just the courier. He's just carrying him.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's still a Purusha in his own right. But in other words, him dealing with Maya is not Maya, because Maya is his wife.
Yeah.
Us dealing with Maya is Maya, because Maya is not our wife.
Right.
Right? So is he jealous?
No, okay. Because that's, cool. That's why you get the dead matter.
Yeah.
You don't actually get Maya herself.
Yeah.
You get the dead man. Yes.
Maharaj, if we want spiritual, but we are getting material, this means that our desire for material is bigger than for spiritual. Yes.
No, it just means it's there along with. The point is one asks, what is material? Material is simply seeing something in connection with, not in connection with Krishna. Spiritual means seeing it in connection with Krishna. So we're getting material facilities. If we're seeing that in connection with Krishna, then what's the problem? If we're seeing it in connection with ourselves, then that's a problem. Yeah? Yes.
Forgetfulness of our real identity comes because of our desire to lord it over Maya.
Yes, because of this primary principle. That's why it says it's an inherent, you know, it's eternal in the jiva, that ignorance. It means it's the potential is there, but, you know, we take it.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual world, they don't take it. Because you have choice, so they take the choice of their natural position.
Yeah. But if we remember our real identity, why would it have any? Why would that decide? It's just there.
Because the point is you have the choice. Mm. So if you chose this, means we didn't choose our real identity. Yes. It's not that we chose it and then lost that. No. That's why it's said we fell from Brahman.
Yes.
One has to know what Brahman means. We take it Brahma Jyoti out in the middle of nowhere floating around there and fell out of there. But how would you fall out of there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you have a jiva who's never been in contact with the material world and he wants to enjoy himself, well, what does he think of? He doesn't know the spiritual world, doesn't know the material world. It's impossible. So it's not there. Brahman means the path from neutrality. The Sarup Shakti, I mean the marginal position means neutral. It means it's not material and it's not devotional.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? It's neutral.
Yes.
That's the meaning of falling from Brahman.
Yes.
But just as, because we always see things in time and space, then we will think, oh, that means Brahman, Brahma Jyoti.
Yes.
And then we'll be quiet, right? Because since time immemorial, it's either you try to enjoy the material world or merge into Brahman.
Mm.
And so, you know, either one of those makes sense to us. So we say we fell from Brahman, we take it as Brahma Jyoti.
Yes.
Or if we fell from the spiritual world, means it has to be Goloka.
Yes.
Right? I could never start out on, you know, some lower insignificant, you know, eternal pastime in the material world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difficulty. We're always looking, the difficulty is that place of time and space.
Yes.
That's why it mentions the happiness of Brahman is only compared to a calf's hoofprint, compared to the unlimited ocean of transcendental bliss of bhakti. Why? Because that position of Brahmananda, that is the inherent neutral position where we start from.
Yes.
So we started from there, came here. On our way back, we'll cross it again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have to know that that's not an important place to stay.
Yes.
If you're looking for happiness, that's not going to get it.
Yes.
Right? From here, it looks very great, but when you get there, it's not.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Let us say we're sitting here, and it says, I'll give you $10,000 for a vacation. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. Okay. I, you know, book you into the Burj Al Arab.
Okay.
$12,000 a night.
Okay.
Problem. Working.
You know?
Yeah. Might not work.
Okay. I'll get you the next one down. $8,000. And then you got to take your flight there. You got to get a taxi. In a sense, so that's the difficulty, is from here, it looks like a lot of money, but over there, that's not a lot of money. You know?
Yes.
We'll fly you by helicopter from the airport to the hotel.
Okay.
Right? It's only 10,000 bucks a seat.
Yes.
People do it.
Yes. I don't.
Okay. You understand? So, well, you have 10,000 bucks.
With your budget.
You can get to the hotel and then walk back. Yeah, go out the boat. Calcutta.
Totally worth it.
You know what I'm saying? So it looks very great from here, but when you get there, it's not much. On the spiritual platform, Brahmananda is not significant. Otherwise, if it was significant, why are we looking at the material world?
Yes.
Why are we looking at something else other than the existence element?
Because it's not fulfilling.
Because it's not fulfilling. So that's the point. It's not fulfilling. We've come here, this is not fulfilling. So
it's
now two out of three opportunities have been taken. So what does that leave one?
Premananda.
Huh?
Premananda.
Yes. Right? So bhakti. So that's what's being offered.
Yes.
You know, take it, because the other two didn't work.
Trust me.
Yeah. Yes.
So don't we always think that something that we are not, we're not there, is better?
Yes, of course.
So even those two, they didn't work.
Yeah, but that's why you have to use intelligence. That's why you have to use intelligence. Because otherwise, then, you get stuck. That's the problem. Right? Means back here. And who knows how long it'll take you to figure it out the next time around. Right? Okay, text 17. The expanded guna avatars. While the Lord carries out pastimes of creation, maintenance, and destruction within the universe through expansions of the three forms previously produced, he personally enjoys spiritual sleep just as he enjoys Lakshmi in the spiritual realm. This verse describes how the Lord remains aloof from the material creation, delegating its operation to his guna avatar. So he has the expansions, or these forms of Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva in the primary position, right outside the universes. He takes the position, and then when the universe is there, then he expands into the universe, and these expand into the universe. They take care of what's going on there, and Mahavishnu just, busies himself in yoga nidra. Right? So he's happy there. So he's not involved, actually, with what goes on here. But it's his potency that makes it all work. But that's maintained, that potency is managed by then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Brahma and Shiva. Yes?
So it means the expanded guna avatars are those that are here.
Yes, those are expanded that are here, because those ones are the original ones.
The original ones are the prototypes.
Means these ones, not the prototypes, because we discussed the prototypes before. So these are the expanded guna avatars. Those other ones were those primary ones. Like that, what do you say? Dislocated. And then expanding from them, except for Vishnu. Yes.
But then Vishnu also enters into the heart of each.
Yes, that's again as Kiradakshaya Vishnu.
Right.
Means, in other words, you have the primary creation outside, the primary creation inside,
right.
And then you have the secondary creation inside.
Correct.
Right? So Kiradakshaya Vishnu is expanded into the secondary creation inside. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expanded into the primary inside, and Mahavishnu is the primary outside, right? Like that. Because there's always the general principle on which these details are based. So what goes on in the universe is already based on that cosmic element in the Mahatattva, means outside, and then you have the specific inside. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Lord, having entered the universe, carries out actions of maintenance, creation, and destruction within the universes through these three forms of Vishnu, Brahma, and Shambhu, who are similar to the prototypes who first emanated from Mahavishnu outside the universes. While they perform these activities, the Lord partakes of Yoga Nidra, previously mentioned, personified as his consort. This form is like Lakshmi, associated with all spiritual powers, because this sleep is actually a form of spiritual ecstasy arising from the bliss of spiritual form, not material ignorance arising from material form. Just as Lakshmi associates with the Purusha expansion, Yoga Nidra associates with that expansion, Mahavishnu, in the Karana ocean. Dikdarshini Tika 5:17. Okay, so we're clear that there's inside and outside. Mm-hmm. And Mahavishnu's... So Yoga Nidra is...
Outside?
Yeah, outside means in with Mahavishnu. But it's still it is a form of Lakshmi. We mentioned before Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya is an aspect of Lakshmi. Mm-hmm. The internal potency. Mm-hmm. Text 18 to 23. Okay. Secondary creation, the appearance of Lord Brahma and the Jivas. An inordinate number of Vedic scriptures begin with an account of creation. The Brahma Samhita is no exception. So far, the text has read like a cosmogonical treatise. It's always impressive how they put these words together.
Yes.
It described the nature of ultimate reality starting from the superior spiritual manifestation, Tripada Vibhuti, or Pada Traya, gradually descending down to the mundane cosmos, Ekapada Vibhuti, or similarly, Pada Vibhuti, footnote 13. Srila Prabhupada provides a helpful analogy to distinguish between these realms. The Ekapada Vibhuti, manifestation of the material energy of the Lord, is just like one of the many mistresses of the Lord, by whom the Lord is not so much attracted, as indicated in the language of the Gita, Bhina Prakriti. But the region of the Tripada Vibhuti, being pure spiritual manifestation of the energy of the Lord, is, so to speak, more attractive to him. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.22.
Why is it attractive?
It's more to play with.
It's more to play with, but do you remember when we the discussion with Bhishma, and he was talking about the queens at Dwarka, and there is that the queens at Dwarka are manifesting all of their feminine, attractive characteristics, but the Lord is not actually attracted by that. What he's attracted by is the devotion in which they're doing that. So because that's the medium of their devotion, therefore he reciprocates on that platform as their husband. But it's not that he's specifically attracted to that. He's attracted to the devotion in which it's offered. So any devotion is offered in a medium. So you offer devotion to the Lord, whatever the medium, you'll get back in that medium. Within this expanse of nescience, first the myriad universes are manifest, then life within each is set in motion. At this point in the text, we finally pierce through the shell of the material universe to witness its primordial moments. Text 18 to 20. The universe becomes populated. When the Lord, Gavarakshay Vishnu, desired to create, a lotus arose from his navel. This golden lotus with its stalk became the astonishing abode of Brahma. Footnote 14. Jiva Goswami explains how the lotus stem is actually Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. This lotus stalk is known as the planet of Brahma because it serves as his place of birth and repose. All the ingredient elements of creation of the universe, which previously made their appearance, remain separate from each other because they did not have the potency to combine with each other.
That's
so.
No.
Pradhan is when it's all combined together, but it's homogeneous. Right?
So what's
this is they've all been separated, but the individual elements can't combine to make things because they don't have the potency to do that.
This is what Brahma does?
Yes.
Combines them.
He combines them, but it's still the Lord's potency. Yeah.
So that's Mahat?
This stage is Mahat. Okay. Does that make sense? So in other words, the 24 elements have expanded. But they're combining to create things that hasn't happened yet. Right? Because before, it's just you have this homogeneous material energy. So you can't tell the difference between anything. So then when the Lord glances, it separates. But then the next stage, until the Lord desires it, it's not going to combine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right, because the first is he's impregnating the universes with the living entities, the ego, time, like this. The first Purusha, Mahavishnu, decorated with his spiritual potency, brought them together through his potency of Maya, and then entered a state of Yoga Nidra. Having combined the elements and before sleeping, Mahavishnu entered the universe as Garbhodakshayi. When he entered the universe, the jivas awoke. This verse described how, after bringing the elements together, Mahavishnu goes to sleep, being indifferent to the process. One might ask, if Vishnu is asleep, who manages the material world? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a detailed explanation of the Lord's potencies as follows. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. The mundane energy, prakriti, gives birth to this universe of animate and inanimate beings by my direction. The purport of the shloka of the Gita is that Maya, the perverted reflection of the spiritual chit potency, was at first inactive, and her extension of matter, constituting the material cause, was also in the separated, dislocated state. In accordance with the will of Krishna, this world is manifested as the resultant of the union of the efficient and material causal principles of Maya. In spite of that, the Supreme Lord Himself remains united with His chit potency, Yoga Nidra. The word Yoga Nidra or Yoga Maya indicates as follows. The nature of chit potency is manifestive of the absolute truth, while the nature of a perverted reflection, Maya, is enveloped in the gloom of darkness. When Krishna desires to manifest something in the mundane, ignorance-wrapped affairs, He does this by the conjunction of His spiritual potency with His inactive non-spiritual potency. This is known as Yogamaya. It carries a twofold notion, namely transcendental notion and mundane inert notion. So through Yogamaya, then when He desires that this work, then this is carried by her. So Yogamaya is the one that carries the potency. Right? And then so then it's in her reflective office, then we have the, so it carries a twofold notion, transcendental and mundane. Yes.
So when we stand, there's Mahavishnu, then Garbhoda Kashaya Vishnu who brings it, sets it into motion, then Maya who carries the potency, and what Lord Brahma does.
It's like you have a blueprint and then and provide all the ingredients and all the money and everything. So that's all the energy. You simply supervise that it goes together properly.
So he comes after her.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's always there. Means Rama Devi's there before, and it's then she carries that potency of the Lord of the glance to the aspect of the inert, the Mahamaya. Right? And so then naturally, as everything enters the universes, then she's also. Yeah. You know, in fact, the universe is made up of her energy, yeah. You see, the point is that you have the mundane manifestation, but it doesn't, the inert matter doesn't have power to do something. So that power by which the inert energy does something, that's coming from the Lord through the agency of Yogamaya, then transformed into Mahamaya. Does that make sense? Because it's dead matter, it doesn't do anything, it's inert. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the.
But when Brahma touches it already, it's not dead matter anymore. I mean, it's
dead matter. It's always dead matter.
With Maya giving it.
No, but the point is Maya is giving that, but where does Maya get the potency from?
From the Lord.
Yes. So that's the point. Is the inert element of the external energy that is being empowered by the Lord. Does that make sense? That's the point. It's just showing that how the Lord is not interested in this side of it. Right? He's only interested in the internal potency because of the devotion. And that's superior form. That's conscious, active form. And He's not interested. So why would He be interested in inert matter that doesn't interact at all? So that's the whole thing, is that that being part of the energy means, in other words, if there's the one, there should be the other. Right? So then the Lord
It's his energy, since it's him, it's his energy that makes it work. But it's in the capacity of Mahamaya. So,
so Sri Vaishnavas, they worship Ranganath. He's on the... Is he in Yoga Nidra? Because he's
sure.
The only one in the way.
But that's pretty standard for Vishnu. You know, sitting on an anta like that. So it's, that doesn't seem to be a...
It
could be Garbhodakshaya, it could be Kiradakshaya. I don't think it's... I'm not sure exactly. We could ask and they could say.
Well, they say the Ranganath is the first deity whom Brahma was worshipping.
Yes. But then whether that's Garbhodakshaya or Kiradakshaya...
Seems to be Garbhodakshaya.
Oh.
Well, I can't say.
Yeah, because it also could be Kiradakshaya or, you know, like that. The same time as it could be Mahanarayan. So, point is the Narayan form. Narayana means that he's laying on the waters that are produced from his form.
But why, in particular, in this form, he's like that?
He's resting. Less formal, you know, more
relaxed.
Yeah, more relaxed, more. Does that make sense? In other words, the principle of that more relaxed, more intimate, interactive element, that's just standard that people always appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's just within opulence, this is that form.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that.
Maharaj, so if Yogamaya is the one who does it, the Lord doesn't relate with the material energy,
but
she's the one.
Yes. So she takes care of it, but she takes care of it as Mahamaya. Like that. Okay. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a detailed explanation of the Lord's potency as follows. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. The mundane energy prakriti gives birth to this universe of animate and inanimate beings by my direction. The purport of the shloka of the Gita is that Maya, the perverted reflection of spiritual chit potency, was at first inactive, and her extension of matter constituting the material cause was also in the separately dislocated state. In accordance with the will of Krishna, this world is manifested as a result of the union of the efficient and the material causal principles of Maya. In spite of that, the Supreme Lord himself remains united with his chit potency, Yoga Nidra. The word yoga nidra, yoga maya, indicates as follows. The nature of chit potency is manifestive of the absolute truth, while the nature of her perverted reflection, maya, is envelopment in the gloom of ignorance. When Krishna desires to manifest something in the mundane, ignorance-wrapped affairs, he does this by the conjunction of a spiritual potency with his inactive non-spiritual potency. This is known as yoga maya. It carries a twofold notion, namely transcendental notion and mundane, inert notion. Krishna himself, his subjective portions, and those jivas who are his unalloyed separated particles, realize the transcendental notion in that conjunction, while conditioned souls feel the mundane inert notion. The external coding of transcendental knowledge in the conscious activities of conditioned souls bears the name of Yoga Nidra. This is also an influence of the chit potency of the divinity. This principle will be more elaborately considered hereafter.
What does that actually mean? The external coating of transcendental knowledge in the conditioned soul? That seems like a contradiction.
The thing is why is everybody acting? They're acting for these, what they're feeling is higher principles, higher everything. But they don't really realize what they're dealing with. Does that make sense? They're dealing with everything in the world, and so they're active, because otherwise matter is inert. And so then they're unable to, so unless Yoga Maya takes care of this, then they're unable to see. But who they're interacting with is Mahamaya, because they don't see it connection with the Lord. That was the first part. Krishna himself, his objective portions, and those jivas who are his unalloyed separated particles, realize the transcendental notion in that conjunction. Right? So when matter and spirit come together, they see the transcendental aspect. They see that it's all Krishna's potency through Yoga Maya. Right? While conditioned souls feel the mundane inert notion. They only see the mundane side. So that's the Maya. So it's, if everything is Brahman, what's pervading it and making it active is Yoga Maya. Because it's Brahman, it's Krishna. So he only interacts with his internal potency. But what we interact with is the external potency. We only interact with Maya, the dead matter. We don't actually interact with the spiritual. That's our motive, that's how we look at things as if it is all alive and everything. But actually we're only dealing with the external. But there's no such thing as the jiva, which is spiritual, and the cosmos, which is Krishna, that you're going to actually have a separate world of mundanity. So it's actually all Brahman, but we see it that way. Right? Therefore, it's called that way. It's just like you take the insane asylum. It's a building like any other building. But it's called the insane asylum because everybody there sees it in a special, unique way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the power that makes it run is actually the internal potency. Because you're dealing with Brahman, so Brahman is Shakti and Shaktiman. Right? So that's what's going on. Then there's the element of... So the reflection of that is the efficient and material cause in the material world. But actually Krishna is the efficient cause. And the material world is his energy, so technically he's both. But he only himself personally has an interest in interacting with the internal potency.
I guess what I'm bewildered about is that this mentioned transcendental knowledge. I wouldn't expect it to be mundane.
No, but it's transcendental knowledge because anything that's working is actually you're dealing with Brahman and how it functions in reality. But we don't apply it properly. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's looking for Krishna. Everybody in their dealing is only dealing with Krishna. But they don't see that, so that is the illusion. You understand?
I think so. But does that mean that the transcendental knowledge refers to...
Like you're leaning on that pillar. You're leaning on that pillar. What are you? What does that mean? You're leaning on what? What are you leaning on?
I'm leaning up against the strength in the pillar.
Yes, but what will people think that they're leaning on?
The pillar.
The pillar made of bricks. But actually the reason those bricks can stand there and do what they do is because of that potency of Krishna. So the primary and the formal cause, I mean the original and formal cause, is the Lord and his internal potency in the form of Brahman. Right? And then we have the operative cause and the material cause. Right? On this side, in which we think everything's going on. But actually that efficient element is still Krishna. We think we're the efficient element. I made it happen, but it's actually Krishna that's still making it happen. and the material nature is transforming. Because the material energy is only working with that potency of the Lord. Right, the creative maintenative, I don't know, and destructive elements of the Lord. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to see both of these. That's the difficulty, is that from the mundane side we only know how to see one. And then we're looking at, well, spiritual must not include that, so it has to be another. So we understand those aspects. Like we understand the material world as it is, you know, the gross, nasty, stinky, smelly materials. Then you have the spiritual world. We understand that. But how the one is then, that potency is transforming and then making this place work, that's the part where it becomes difficult. This is the stuff the Russians should be thinking about, right?
Yes.
Instead of other mystical uselessness.
So there is only transcendental knowledge.
There is only transcendental knowledge. Everything else is ignorance. That's why we call it ignorance. Because so-called knowledge of dead matter, how is that knowledge? Because you say is, okay, there's, you know, the cloud is there, and then when it's like this, then it'll rain, and when it's like that, it'll not. But what's making it rain? They don't even understand it's the demigods that are making it rain, but where the demigods get the power to make the rain, that's coming from the Lord. So it's not actual knowledge, it's just ignorance. It may be very nicely articulated and documented ignorance, but it's still ignorance.
Yes.
So, so the ignorance is that they don't have a total picture. They have a small part.
Yeah.
And it's everything.
Yes, but it's only absorbed in matter, which is the mode of ignorance. The forms that you see, that's generated by the mode of ignorance. So knowledge of that is knowledge of ignorance.
So that's why we say covered.
Yeah.
Like a Vedic scientist who should predict the rain, you'll also have some superior knowledge of demigods.
Yes, and all that, because otherwise, why is it like that? Why does it function in that way? You know, unless it's the Lord's potencies, it won't. At least minimum is that you accept that there's something higher. You know, but that is only pious. But here we're pointing out that no, it goes more than that. Otherwise, it's just ignorance. Yes.
In science, many times...
A little louder.
In science, many times they mention that atom particles, they have this attractiveness, but they don't know what to explain. Is that the efficient element that Krishna is in here?
Yes, because otherwise why would they create attraction? Because the Lord is what's attractive. And so then they'll say it's gravity, it's this and that. But they can only identify what's already going on, where that potency comes from. See, if energy only transforms, right? According to science, energy does not dissipate. It only transforms. So that means if it always does that, then there can't be a beginning and can't be an end. And so then energy has to have a source. So it can't have just one day appeared. You know what I'm saying? It has to have always been there. So how did that happen? This is the difficulty. They don't understand that behind there is that potency of the Lord. Therefore, its scientific value is limited. You know, they make nice things here, but these nice things, it's how do they get you out of here, right? Mm-hmm. Ask your phone, you know, what's the ultimate goal of life, or, you know, what is transcendence of that? And you probably won't get much of an answer.
That's right.
Yeah, what do you get?
It said, I'm not qualified, you should ask for a human being who has all the abilities to do that.
Okay, so at least they're honest.
Depends on what human being.
Yeah.
Who's God? That was the answer.
Okay, yeah.
Just make fun of the phone. It says, are you married? It's no comment. CD.
You said, none of your business. That's for me to know and for you to find out. Okay, does that make sense? So we'll get into this more later. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But what we understand is that this is what's coming up on the horizon. And it's kind of like when we appreciate it, then the horizon will move on to the next subject.
Yes.
But until we catch it, then we notice that it keeps coming back. Text 21, the nature of the jiva. In other words, we have this idea that there's material and spiritual. Yes, there's the inferior and superior manifestations of the kingdom of God. But technically, material is our perspective of it. So we're thinking, because I see it like that, that's the way it is. So this idea is that it's all the kingdom of God. This is just the inferior part of the kingdom of God. That somehow or another is hard for us to digest. Because that leaves who in control? And who is the enjoyer, right? So therefore, less fun.
Yeah. Rethink.
Huh?
Rethink.
Yeah. Okay. But it shouldn't be. Right? You know, if the movie comes, you know, how they made the movie, people like to watch it, you know, stuff like that. So it shouldn't be something that we really have a problem with.
But no.
But we do.
So we keep on working with it.
Text 21. The nature of the jiva. The jiva is eternal, with an eternal relationship to the Lord. The jiva is described as having a superior nature. Jiva Goswami defines the jiva as follows. Narada Pancharatra says, the jiva is a conscious entity situated on the border, emanating from the Lord's consciousness and colored by the gunas. Jiva is called Prakriti since it is situated in its natural form and as conscious witness. Describing jiva as Prakriti also indicates that the jiva has the capacity to perceive his dependence on the Lord. Right, as opposed to Purusha. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the jiva in the material world, we're talking about it as Purusha, and the material energy as Prakriti. Mm-hmm. But technically, if you're looking at the whole picture, then we're also Prakriti, just superior Prakriti to the material.
Yes.
But we're not superior to the internal.
Mm-hmm. Like that. All right, so this capacity to perceive depends on the Lord. Every activity, like lifting a pencil, is just the Lord's energy and just taking part in that.
Yeah, lifting the pencil, but what about lifting the hand?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. Just so, the whole thing. So in this, the overall generic is explained. We apply it into those areas that have importance to us. Is that, yeah. You know, like human in the morning, knowing he can come. Okay, confidently get out of bed and put his foot on the floor because it's God's potency.
Yes.
Then you know that's through. Where you would apply it. Okay. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur reinforces the jiva's eternal relationship with the Lord by way of fundamental analogy. Just as the sun is eternally associated with his rays, so the transcendental Supreme Lord is eternally joined with the jivas. Jivas, being particles of Godhead's effulgent rays, exhibit on a minute scale the qualities of the divinity. Hence, jivas are identical with the principles of knowledge, knower, egoism, enjoyer, meditator, and doer. But in small quantities. All the qualities of the unalloyed soul are above the eightfold qualities such as egotism, etc., pertaining to his achit potency, 15. Okay, so there were eight here. Huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there must be something else. Okay. 15. This most likely refers to the eightfold material covering of the universe. Okay, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.11. For example, Prakriti, Mahatattva, Ahankar, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. Yeah, pretty much covers it. covers it and covers us, right?
Yes.
Hence the jiva potency. Oh, hence the jiva potency. Though very small in magnitude, is still superior to achit potency in Maya. This potency has another name, namely tatasta, or marginal potency, being located on the line demarcating the spheres of the spiritual and mundane potencies. He is susceptible to the influence of the material energy, owing to his small magnitude. But so long as he remains submissive to Krishna, the Lord of Maya, he is not liable to be liable to the influence of Maya. Brahma Samhita Purport 5.21. So this thing of catching this, because that is who we are. We are on this point of can deal with one or the other. So that means understanding that we situate ourselves back in our natural position. Is that right? The difficulty in understanding is because of our conditioning to function on this side, right? And because we're used to duality, there can be this and there can be that. But this idea of both elements, that we're not so accustomed to. Because the world of duality, it's always two things, good, bad, night, dark, light, dark, all these kind of things. So we're not used to. Okay, text 22. The many forms of Lord Brahma. A lotus appeared in the navel of the Lord for the mass of jivas. In that lotus, Hiranyagarbha, Brahma, appeared, and then the Brahma with the four mouths and the four Vedas. Right? So that's what was Rupa Goswami was mentioning before. Okay, so Hiranyagarbha, which is Vishnu form, because that's the aspect from what is before, that when Vishnu, when Mahavishnu expanded Hiranyagarbha and Shiva. So that Hiranyagarbha is then expanded into each universe, right? Because you have the three outside, those principles are expanded then into each universe. So then that's the Hiranyagarbha principle. Is the lotus itself. Then on top of that lotus, then Brahma with four mouths and the four Vedas, then he appears. Right, so there's two different aspects. Right, so actually three, because you have the original, then you have this manifestation, then you have Brahma. Right, and technically, Mahavishnu has those elements in him before expanding them.
Hiranyagarbha is inside also?
He should, inside this shouldn't universe? Be.
No, what I thought before, the prototypes, they're outside.
They're outside, but then the prototypes expand into each universe.
What does he do? What does he do here?
He's the primary creation. Based on this Hiranyagarbha, Brahma is going to do the secondary. Otherwise, how does he know what a dog looks like?
Doesn't have the manual?
The manual is Hiranyagarbha.
Oh. So he's like Garbhudakasaya
Vishnu on that level. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have that element. Then you have this particular demigod. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that make sense? So you're always having the primary element and then the secondary manifestation of it. So what we're used to viewing is the secondary. Right? That's why the Shastra gives so much importance on this primary, because that's the connection with the Lord. Right? From the primary you get the secondary. But if you don't understand the primary, then one won't really understand the secondary. Right? We can't really understand this world until we understand where this world came from.
And that's why creation always described in all the scriptures?
Yes, that's why they always start. Because the scripture is describing a particular aspect of the Lord. So how does that come to pass here? How is it that... How is it part of the Lord? How is it... Because the whole creation is Him. So how is it that that aspect is connected to him, so you see the connection through the creative aspect. Two forms of Brahma who appear to be separate jivas existing simultaneously are described here. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elaborates. The same divine lotus originating from the divine person is the superior plane of aggregation of all individual souls. The four-faced Brahma, the image of self-enjoyment, derives its origin from the prototype Brahma or Hiranyagarbha, the mundane seminal principle who regards the aggregate of all mundane entities as his own proper body. In Laghu Bhagavatamrita and its commentary, further insight is shed on these two personalities. Brahma appearing from the lotuses of two types, Hiranyagarbha, who is subtle and appears for his own enjoyment, and Vairaja, who is gross and appears for creation of the universe. Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.2.19. Wasn't Vairaja the... Wasn't he the Vishnu aspect? I think this is switched to.
Yeah, no, but they're describing three forms of Brahma in this one.
Okay.
It differs slightly.
Okay, so this is appearing three forms.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because they were saying three. So, okay.
But.
So you have the how do you say, that original element of creation, then the element of, with the jivas and that enjoying mood and all that kind of element, and then you have Brahma who then manifests it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's either described as three or two.
Yeah, but that's within one universe, so I think the Prajapati outside is the fourth.
Yes. Okay. You getting more fun now?
Yes, now, so it's clear.
It's just a matter of how you're defining, because, see, since the one is transforming into another, right? If one thing is transforming into another, then what is important to you? Right? It means you have this, and it transforms into that. So technically, two are important. But if there's anything in that transformatory process that has any connection with something that we might be able to appreciate in application of our own life, we may take any of those aspects in between. So therefore, you can count that transformation aspect as one also.
Which one of those is transformation aspect?
So it appears here this Vairaja is the...
He's at the thing? Hiranyagarbha and Brahma? He's in between?
Yes. Or before... I mean, you have the Hiranyagarbha aspect, you have Vairaja aspect, and you have Brahma, foreheaded. But now it seems that sometimes Brahma is called Vairaja. At the same time as he also talks about, he comes from Virat. Like that. So, but the point is in either case, is that there's the concept and then there's the application. So even within the Brahma who's going to do the creation, there's the concept of he is able to do that and has the potency to do that. Then there's the jiva that does it. So you can say the post of Brahma is one position, and then there's the jiva that actually does it. Because the post carries the potency. But that potency is coming from before him, Hiranyagarbha. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of if you need to define that much or not. If a question doesn't come up, you don't need to define. If a question comes up, then that aspect is there. Just like, let's say, okay, the temple president is there, he's saying that we should do this. Now, then the point is if it's not, we can see a better way to do it. So should we do it our better way, or do we follow what the president says? Right? Now, I can answer this in two ways. If you're looking at the president as the individual, I can say if he's done something and you can see a better way, since it's for Krishna, you do what is the better way, since the result's for Krishna. Right? But if I'm looking at it as the post, as the president carrying that particular potency of authority, then if you do what he says spiritually, you'll benefit, though the result you're going to get is not going to be that great. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you can have define as three or two. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes? He's comfortable with this? Or?
Yeah. Okay. We're about to get into it in the next paragraph.
Oh. Okay. The sentence before. We crack our head and there's the answer in the next one. Yes.
When it says here that Hiranyagarbha, he appears for his own enjoyment, is that because his Vishnu form of Brahma is his enjoyment?
Yes. The point is that the material creation is his pastime anyway. Like that. And so what he's interacting with is his internal potency. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hiranyagarbha has a subtle body, shukshma, made of mahatattva. The Supreme Lord can see him, but the devatas and others cannot. A Vairaja has a body which is gross, made of the aggregate of all elements. He has four heads, eight eyes, eight arms for creation. He is visible to the devatas and gives them benedictions. Hiranyagarbha's purpose is enjoyment, and Vairaja's purpose is creation of the universe. Right. So, in any case, why is it that you're interested in something of this of Brahma's creation? Right? You want to become happy. Where does that happiness come? The soul and dead matter? No. So that means it's the soul and the Lord. So, in other words, you're interacting with him. Brahma just creates what you see. Your interaction, your experiences, your feelings, all that's coming from Hiranyagarbha. Does that work? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do we catch all these things that we've been talking about, of the energies and the Brahman and this and that? So these are all the same thing, just different aspects of the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah?
So Hiranyagarbha would be like Brahma.
Hiranyagarbha is the Lord, but because you're dealing with generic, that means Brahman. Hmm.
So the pleasure I get
from... Yeah, because impersonal simply means not specific.
Hmm. Sometimes when we say that there is not a qualified jiva to be on the post of Lord Brahma, then Hiranyagarbha or Vairaja, they will
do that post, yes. Yeah. And then at that point, then that position of the jiva doing that is merged into the Hiranyagarbha, who is the enjoyer of it, because he'll just take care of it. But he manages it. So that means that aspect of manifestation of the universe is absorbed in him, because he doesn't. Does that make sense? So it's just like to say the boss, and he has a supervisor. The supervisor's not there. The boss gets it done himself. That means the office of supervisor is absorbed into the boss. Right? Like that. Because you have both this subtle and gross element. Okay? What is more, in his Bhagavatam commentary, Srila Vishwanath lists three Brahmas: Hiranyagarbha, Vairaja, and four-headed Brahma. The lotus, so either it's Hiranyagarbha is in this position, but Vairaja and four-headed Brahma may be two entities, or one. Right? That lotus made of all the planets, called the Vairaja, which at the time of devastation had entered the subtle state, now appeared at the end of the devastation in the form of a lotus. Vishnu as Antaryami entered that lotus. That lotus held within itself the manifestations of the effects of all the gunas, svarga and naraka, to be enjoyed by the jivas. Right, the effect of the gunas. Right, so the gunas apply the effects. You get svarga, you get naraka. Mm-hmm. Right? There is the gross form of Brahma called Vairaja, the lotus of the planets. There is the subtle form called Hiranyagarbha. There is also four-headed Brahma, the creator, who appeared from the lotus at this time. Thus, there are three forms of Brahma. Sarartha, Darshani, Tika, 3.8.15. Yes. So this means of 3.8.15, that means Bhagavatam. Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Sometimes we also describe Brahman as four.
The Lord. Brahman.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Lord, internal, external potency, and Jivas.
Yes. Means they're all Brahman.
Yes.
So, and that means they're all coming from that supreme Brahman.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So, in relation to Hiranyagarbha, how does Hiranyagarbha fit into these four?
Means Hiranyagarbha is the Lord, but you have that aspect of transformation. Remember, mm-hmm. Linga.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
So, in other words, Mahavishnu is Vishnu Tattva, but because he's come to do creation, which is in contact with material energy, therefore there's that aspect of that interaction with the external energy. Yes. So that means there's a transformation there.
Yes.
That potential. That's what makes him Linga.
Yes.
But he then expands these as Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. And then he himself is Mahavishnu. His Vishnu just, you know, sleeps in yoga nidra.
Yeah.
Then these three expand into each universe and are represented in each universe.
Yeah.
So that means that this Vishnu who is mentioned as Antaryami, that's the Gavadakshaya Vishnu.
Yes, he's the Antaryami of the universe.
Yes.
Not of each living entity, that would be Kirodaksha.
Samasta Paramatma and Vyashti Paramatma.
Samasta and Vyashti.
Yeah.
So who's Samasta?
Gargadakashari Vishnu.
And is Samasta, is Samasti.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Vyashti and Samasti?
Yeah.
Vyashti is?
Kshirajapadashari Vishnu. Because it means
okay,
split.
Okay, so split. Because Vyashti means the difference. That's what intelligence does. Makes the difference and puts together.
Yeah.
So the put together is Gargadakashari.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means the whole total creation inside. And then Kirodaksha is the Vyasti, means the separated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In all the universes, the four...
Is this going on?
Like, if our Brahma is four-headed... So
yeah, even if there's, if he's ten-headed or hundred-headed, it's still the same principle.
Okay.
It's just the number of heads is for the size of the universe. Bigger universe, more heads. You know, four is for... The smallest universe only needs four. As we worked it out, one head per 1 billion miles.
Miles.
But does that mean we're 1 billion miles because we have one head?
We're not Brahma.
We're not. Yeah, we're not.
Oh, okay. So that's,
that's
not anymore.
Yeah, that means when it comes to us, that's where all those Yiddish terms come in.
Shemassel.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, they go on.
Yeah. So those are our glories and qualifications.
Yes. Maybe we can recite them one day.
Yeah. 1,008 derogatory terms. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, who knows? It's probably, you know, by the time you finish reciting all of them, you'd be so sinful you turn into a stone.
Yiddish Sahasrama.
Yeah.
This is only for Goy.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say that. That would be the Goya Sahasrama. You know, not the Spanish Goyal, but yeah, he's also a Goy. Okay. Okay. So then, okay, now this is Vairaja, at the time Devas had entered a subtle state. The lotus made of all the planets is called Vairaja. So that means he's born of the lotus. So then there's the conceptual element, and that is Hiranyagarbha. Right? Means that Lord, the potency, Vishnu there. Then as the lotus, then all the planetary systems, everything in its potent state. Then Brahma manifests that. So then you get three that way. So depending upon how you do it, you just connect the creation, the potential of the creation with four-headed Brahma, or you connect the potential with Hiranyagarbha. So that way you get two. Does that work? Yeah. Okay. At any rate, okay, so there's the gross form of Brahma called Vairaja. Gross form means the manifestation itself, what can be manifest. Then there's Brahma. So then here, then there also, it seems to be, is that the what do you call it? The form of the universe, what it is, that's also Brahma. Mm-hmm. What he creates. All the planetary systems. Mm-hmm. So that's in this case, what Vishnu is saying, that's Vairaja.
Is that like identical to Virat Rupa?
He's saying it's the gross form, so it means it's the planet itself. The Virat Rupa is the potency that you have a planet.
Okay.
So that's that subtler form.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there's the subtle form, there's the gross form, and there's Brahma who manifests the gross form. Does that work?
Yeah. That's Vairaja, no?
Yes. Yes? Okay. Means there is the cake. There's the lady who manifests the cake, and then there's Betty Crocker. No?
No, no.
No one knows that one.
Sorry, cake in a box didn't make it outside.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let's say you have the cookbook. You have the manifestation of the recipe of the cookbook. Then you have the cook. Okay? So the cookbook is Hiranyagarbha. Okay? The cook is Brahma. The manifest preparation is Vairaja. Okay? Does that work? At the same time, Vairaja is the lotus, so it has to be expanded. Because technically all the universes, all the planets and everything are within the lotus. You could say, yeah, you could say that.
So Vairaja is all the...
So you say yes. Then Hiranyagarbha would be the Adi Atma. Mm-hmm. Vairaja would be the Adi Bhautik. Mm-hmm. And Brahma would be the Adi Daivik. In this kind of presentation.
Right? I didn't catch that one. Can you just quickly repeat? Adi Bhautik? Is
yes.
Lord Brahma.
No, Adi Bhautik is the manifestation. That's
Vairaja. Yeah.
All right? The Adi Daivik is Brahma, and the Adi Atma is okay. Then Hiranyagarbha. So then you get three. Right? So there's the subtle form called Hiranyagarbha. Right? There's the gross form of Brahma called Vairaja, the lotus of the planets. There's the subtle form called Hiranyagarbha, and there's the four-headed Brahma, the creator, who appeared from the lotus at this time.
Right.
Yeah.
The plants, they stay inside the lotus stem, or just...
From what I understand, they stay within the lotus. Sometimes there are plants manifest outside, but generally that's only when necessary. Somebody's very pious, and there might be something outside, but generally they're always within. But the from what I understand, the width of within the lotus stem is 1 billion miles. Well, two of them are underwater.
That's half.
Half.
And lotus.
Lotus. So within the 2 billion this way, then it's 1 billion wide.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that. It's a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's 14 planetary systems inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It all fits in. And as you see, it's actually, as it gets down, they're very close together. All the first lower eight are all within, hardly anything. then the remainder, then those are the rest of it.
They have bigger distance between themselves?
Yes, much bigger distances. Here it's very close together.
Down from Earth?
From Earth down, everything's very close.
Okay.
At least from Patala you can actually see the white of Ananta's hoods. You know, with Garbhodaksha Vishnu, they're so close. So I guess here you have blue sky, there you have white skies.
Maharaj, why is the sky blue?
Why is the sky blue?
Krishna likes it.
Ask your iPhone.
Yeah. That would work. I was going to say, yes, I can't remember what his name is. He's one African-American entertainer. You could ask him about the sky being blue.
I was asking this question. I tried to say Krishna is blue, but I couldn't.
No, but the point is why not? Do you want it another color?
Pink.
There is a scientific explanation to that, Vedic scientific explanation to that also.
Then?
Which I don't know.
You know, but I mean, along with this, why is trees green? You know, stuff like that. You know, so you get into everything. Why can't you see the back of your head?
Oh, that relates to Hiranyagarbha.
That should be asked to Hiranyagarbha. Ask her. So you can ask your phone to ask Hiranyagarbha.
Call Hiranyagarbha.
You can actually pass the phone. It's a please call.
Okay. See if you get it.
My wife's grandfather was a great Brahmin from North. And he was asking this question from the German scientist who came to study the Vedas here. Why is the sky blue? Could you explain that? He had an explanation for it.
Oh, okay.
It took 100 years before they found the explanation, scientific, Western scientific explanation to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, everything's there in the Vedas. It's just how much is there. It says innumerable shastras. Like I said, it's that one devotee was telling me, because he knows Arisan and all that, so he was reading in one Brahmin's house a scripture that was explaining exact combinations of what modes make what particular forms. The nose gets bigger because you're adding these modes, or the ears or eyes, you know, so all the shapes that are there that create all the different living entities, he was explaining what modes make that happen, what combinations. And that was just a scripture sitting on the guy's shelf. So like that, there's so many things, it's just... You know, what to do.
I think it's called Mosfor effect or something like that.
Oh, that's enough. At any rate, Shastric depictions of Lord Brahma focus primarily on his four-headed form, the one who exchanges loving pastimes with the Supreme Lord. In this story and the origin of this very Samhita, that is recounted in the verses to follow. Even though he possesses four heads, Brahma is the most relatable character in the narration so far. Why? Because his life's tale and the origin of his four heads is emblemic of our confusion and general bewilderment. Brahma, situated in the center of the lotus, could not see the universe's planets. Turning his head around and glancing into space, he attained four heads to see in the four directions. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.16. So it appears he started with one and then got four. So there is a chance.
We can maybe still make it.
Okay.
During the head
one. Yeah.
See our own
3.8.16. But the only thing is that if you can turn it all the way around, then you have a possibility. But if you can't, then it's not going to happen.
Practice.
Yeah. 23. Brahma's speculation. At that time, Brahma, after appearing, inspired by the energy of the Lord, developed the desire to create the worlds under the influence of his previous impressions. Purva Samskara Samskrita 16. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in this connection, notes, all jivas get their nature conformably to their impressions of previous births, and accordingly their activity can have a beginning. It is called the unseen, adrishta, or the result of one's previous deeds. His natural impulse is formed according to the nature of deeds done by him in the previous kalpa. Some of the eligible jivas also attain to the office of Brahma in this way, Brahma Samhita 223 purport. But he saw only darkness and nothing else in all directions. This pastime illustrates an essential devotional principle, the utter futility of one's personal endeavor if it is devoid of the Lord's mercy. The same episode is narrated in the third canto of Bhagavatam. Quote, who am I sitting on the lotus? From where did this lotus arise? There is nothing else except the lotus in the water, but there must be something else below which supports this lotus. Being intelligent, I can ascertain this much. Right? So he's a scientist who knows that if something is there, it must be supported by something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Reflecting in this way, Brahma entered into the water by the tubes in the stem of the lotus. Searching out the navel of Vishnu from which arose the stem of the lotus, he could not reach it, though he approached close. 100 years passed for Brahma, who was searching out his source in the infathomable darkness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes the significance of this passage. This verse shows that without the will of the Lord, all attempts by materialists will end in failure. Though he approached very close, he could not reach the lotus navel of Narayana, since it is impossible to reach without bhakti. One who gives up pride attains the Lord through meditation by the Lord's will. Sarartha Darshani Tika 3.8, 19 and 21. Srila Prabhupada adds, the subject matter of the speculations of Brahma in the beginning regarding the creation of the cosmic manifestation is still a subtle matter for mental speculators. The most intelligent man is he who tries to find the cause of his personal existence and that of the whole cosmic creation, and thus tries to find the ultimate cause. If his attempt is properly executed with penances and perseverance, it is sure to be crowned with success. 3.8.18, purport.
If Brahma only lives for 100 years, and he spends them inside the lotus stem.
But these aren't his years, these are celestial.
Oh. So it happens to him every day, or?
No, this is in the beginning.
Once a lifetime.
Yeah. The question as to whether or not the process of creation depicted in the third canto corresponds with that given in the Brahma Samhita is confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. On that basis, Brahma meditated for 100 years before he could understand the supreme cause of all causes. And then he wrote the Brahma Samhita, which is approved and recognized by Lord Chaitanya, and in which he sings, Govindam Adipurusham Tamahang Bhajami. One has to wait for the mercy of the Lord before one can either render service unto him or know him as he is. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.22, purport. Right, so this principle of as he is or as it is, it means revelation by the Lord. Right? But one, by one's own mental speculation, one can never understand.
Yes.
Right. So celestial. So one of our years is a day, a celestial day. One of our years is a celestial day. So then 360 of our years is a celestial year. So 100 of those.
36,000 years.
Yeah, so 36,000. That's how long you meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Text 24 to 28. The Kam Bija and Kam Gayatri reveal all.
It was in the stem, and we also mentioned that in the stem are all the planets. Did you see that?
No, because as mentioned before, they're still in the subtle. They're the gross, but they're in a subtle form. He has to manifest them.
So they were in the Mahat. Then he was not empowered yet?
No. means it's after Vistatil. He hasn't started the creation yet because he's still trying to figure out who he is, what's he doing. So he has the idea what he should do by the previous samskar, but how to do that he can't understand. So now, then, therefore, he's trying to find, so what's the source, what's the origin? From that he'll find answers. But then the difficulty is he can't find that because it's only by the Lord's grace. So he sits in meditation. Then from that, then it will start to happen. Is that...
Didn't we just say before, it was saying it's one of the definitions of Brahma. That the same divine lotus originate from the divine person is the superior plan of aggregation of all individual souls. Okay. Then you have that. Hiranyagarbha appeared, and then Brahma with four mouths. Okay. The lotus appeared from the navel of the Lord for the mass of jivas. And that, so we still end up with the three aspects, but here they're defining two or four. The Kam Bija and Kam Gayatri. Brahma is moved within by a deep inner longing, Vayojana, to carry out the activities of secondary creation, Abhideya. However, he has no idea where he is, who he is, or where he comes from. With such inadequate Sambandha Gyan, he is ill-equipped to act and frustrated in his goals. Brahma, however, is fortunate to receive the Lord's mercy in the form of spiritual instruction from the goddess of learning, Saraswati. Text 24. Lord Brahma surrenders. A divine voice, Divya Saraswati, then spoke to him directly and gave him the dear mantra composed of the Kam Bija, the words Krishnaya Govinda, Gopijana Vallabhaya, and the syllable dear to the fire, Swaha. The same Kam Bija mantra was previously glorified in text 3 as the king of mantras, residing in the most sacred of all abodes, Gokula. His further significance is revealed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The mantra, consisting of the 18 divine letters prefixed by the Kam Bija, is alone super excellent. It has a twofold aspect. One aspect is that it tends to make the pure soul run after all attractive Sri Krishna, the Lord of Gokula, and the divine milkmaids. This is the acme of the spiritual tendency of jivas. When the devotee is free from all sorts of mundane desires and willing to serve the Lord, he attains the fruition of his heart's desire, namely, the love of Krishna. But in the case of the devotees who is not of unmixed aptitude, this super excellent mantra fills his heart's desire also. The transcendental Kam Bija is inherent in the divine logos located in Goloka. And the Kam Bija, pervertedly reflected in the worldly affairs, satisfies all sorts of desires of this mundane world. Okay, so the Kam Bija, then that fulfills all desires. It's made out of these. So in Goloka, that is the center of Goloka. That's where Braj is, where Radha and Krishna are situated. But at the same time, that's what's being given to him, because with that, then everything can be attained. So that's the thing. If one has that pure spiritual desire, it awakens one's, you know, that interest in Krishna. If one has material desire, it fulfills those.
Kama Gayatri is expanded from Kama Bija.
I think Kama Gayatri is first.
Oh.
As Gayatri.
Okay.
The Kama Bija is the form. Yes. Okay. But it may be the Kambijas first and then Kambijas. But in other words, the two go together. Yeah. So they're after the Maha Mantra, they're first.
Is it called Gopalgatri?
That's why it's called Kambija.
Oh, that's the Kambija, not late.
Yeah, this is called Kambija. Kamgayatri is. Yeah. It's called Kambija because it has the Kambija, and then it has all these other words and syllable dear to fire. Yeah.
All right, so in the text 3, you mentioned the same mantra. This is Gopal Gayatri.
No, it's not a Gayatri. Gayatri means it's got 24 syllables. This has 18. So Gopal mantra and Kambija are the same thing. Then come Gayatri. That's a Gayatri.
Okay. Yes. So my question is to the yantra. Is it according to the Gopal mantra?
Yes, Gopal mantra or Kambija.
Kambija.
Yes. It's here. It's being called Kambija.
Because it's 18 syllables.
18 syllables. Yeah, because it's a beach mantra. It's the seed mantra. Yes. Just like the Gayatri has a seed mantra. Which we call our Mula Mantra. So you can say the Gopal Mantra is the Mula Mantra for the Kam Gayatri.
Right.
But it itself is not, it is its own mantra.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The other ones only have basically a relationship with it. It's used for performing all. You can perform all the activities in puja with the Gopal Mantra.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's described in later when Brahma created everything with Gopal on the whole material universe.
Okay. Okay. This is not the Gayatri itself. It is referred to as the Krishna mantra. Like the Gayatri, however, it fully encompasses the threefold principles of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Srila Prabhupada explains how. Chanted three times a day by Brahmanas, the famed Gayatri mantra is also said to honor the progression of deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, by specifically mentioning their names. Traditionally, Krishnaya refers to Madan Mohan, Govindaya refers to Govindadeva, and Gopijana Vallabhaya refers to Gopinath. Like that. You didn't give the reference.
This one I can find
out. Okay. Under what circumstances does Saraswati Devi give this rare and precious Krishna mantra to Brahmaji so easily? Jiva Goswami answers in his commentary to this verse that it was possible only by the mercy of Bhagavan. And why was such unexpected mercy suddenly available? Because Brahmaji had worshipped Bhagavan in his previous life. Text 26. Lord Brahma worships Krishna. Yes, after 100 years.
Not so easy. It wasn't so easy for him.
No.
Means he did the meditation and it says easily he gave him. But it wasn't easy for him.
I mean, what would you...
It doesn't sound easy.
100 years is too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
It's easy.
36,000 compared to 311 trillion.
So 5 minutes?
Yeah, so not so bad.
Okay.
Now is it okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now it's okay. Put it in perspective. Okay. But that's because in his previous life, Brahma underwent meditation for a long time and pleased the highest form of God. So that's what he did. He pleased the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent Saraswati.
So the 100 years of meditation didn't please the Lord.
No, that pleased, therefore Saraswati came.
Right. Then I don't understand previous. according to what we always speak, Ma previously was in transcendence.
Not necessarily. No, it's said that when the living entity falls into the material world, he first comes as Brahma. But it's not that every Brahma is a jiva coming from that platform of Brahma. He's the most pious living entity in the universe. So either it's someone coming from there or within the universe, whoever's pious. So you can go in samsara, then you have Brahma at the top and the Indugopa at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else in between. So therefore, one can come up to that level. That's how you can have a Brahma that's not necessarily very devotional. But this is describing this Brahma.
He's devotional.
Yeah, this particular Brahma. Because otherwise, if he wasn't a devotee and didn't have much devotion, we'd probably use other stories.
Is this the same time that he married her when he came?
He married her. Oh, this is Divya Saraswati. He doesn't marry Divya Saraswati. He's got his own Saraswati.
What is Divya Saraswati?
That means Vishnu's Saraswati. Yeah. Because his Saraswati was late to the wedding. That's why he married Gayatri. Yeah. Yeah, so. Different Saraswati. Mm-hmm. Okay, Brahma underwent meditation for a long time and pleased the highest form of God, the indestructible Govinda, Krishna, Lord of Swetadweep, situated in Goloka, whose land is made of Chintamani. Govinda is worshipped by Prakriti in the form of its gunas from a distance. He has an eternal... So in other words, Prakriti worships by, you know, paraphernalia, activity, and knowledge. Right? Like that, but from a distance. He has an eternal form of knowledge and bliss, which is self-revealing. He is seated on a large throne in the pericarp of a lotus with millions of stamens and thousands of petals, playing a flute with his lotus mouth, and is surrounded by the gopis and praised by other associates. This verse describes how chanting this mantra satisfied Brahma's desire to become empowered to create the universe. Brahma then worshipped Govinda in Goloka by using the verses of praise which follow. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains how Brahma had personal motives, yet was sensible enough to approach Krishna for the fulfillment rather than worship another, quote, mundane gift-giving deities, end quote. True devotion is unalloyed devotional activity free from all mundane desire. The devotion of Brahma, etc., is not unmixed devotion, but there is a stage of unmixed predilection even in devotion for the attainment of one's selfish desire. This has been fully described in the concluding five shlokas of this work. That is the easiest method of divine service prior to the attainment of self-realization by fallen souls. So in other words, there's the element of that you want to do it nicely, so there's the aspect of pure devotion, even though it may be motivated. But the mood and your endeavor is pure, therefore you get the benefit of pure. Difficulty is that sustaining that pure, that's the point. Yeah.
Except that Brahma was intelligent enough to afford the Supreme Lord. He didn't have any other choice. Was he? There were no demigods at that moment?
No, but he could meditate on somebody else, he could do something else.
But due to his... Can we say that due to his piety he knew what to do?
And by the there is the due to his piety... He knows what is, and that he has duties, but still, in approaching the source, the origin, he's approaching Krishna. So, therefore, Krishna is kind and then reveals. So, we can understand he must have practiced devotional service before. Otherwise, how would he be in this position? Why would he turn to Krishna? So, he turned to Krishna, not someone else.
So, this Brahma we're hearing about here, he's not coming up, he's coming down.
It doesn't really matter if he's come up or down.
But
because the point is, if he's coming down, generally you come down because you're not worshipping.
Yeah.
Come up because you are worshipping.
Mm.
But you could come up also just because of just sheer pious activities. But as we see before, it's not always that there's a Brahma in each universe.
Mm.
But we're saying
right, because Krishna himself has to take that position.
Yeah, yeah. But we say that Brahma performed devotional service in a previous life.
Yes, yeah, so this Brahma has performed devotional service. So.
No, because it seems like he wouldn't fall into the material sphere if he did.
No, but everybody here has fallen into the material sphere, and then at some point they take up devotional service.
Yes.
So this devotee happened to take birth as Brahma, appear as Brahma, before going back to Godhead.
He's still with us, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of his life.
Yeah.
So they are quite fortunate that they have a Brahma that is a devotee.
Devotee, yes.
There might be a universe where there is someone who is not...
Yes. Yeah. This verse describes how chanting this mantra satisfied Brahma's desire to become empowered to create the universe. Brahma then worshipped Govinda and Goloka using the verses of praise which follows. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, oh, we already read that. 27, the initiation of Lord Brahma. Then the embodiment of the Vedas, the Gayatri Mantra, emanated from the sound of Krishna's flute after entering his ears, appeared in the four mouths of Brahma. Uttering the Gayatri Mantra, Brahma became purified, attained second birth from the original Guru, Krishna. The Kama Gayatri Mantra is described by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as, quote, the sequel of the 18-lettered mantra previously mentioned. After receiving it directly from the mantra's presiding deity, Krishna, Brahma attained the status of being twice born. The significance of the mantra is elaborated as follows. The sound of Krishna's flute is a transcendental blissful sound. Hence, the archetype of all Veda is present in it. The Gayatri is Vedic rhythm. It contains a brief meditation and prayer. Kama Gayatri is the highest of all the Gayatris, because the meditation and prayer contained in it are full of the perfect transcendental sportive activities, which are not to be found in any other Gayatri. In this Gayatri, the realization of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Gopijana Vallabha, after perfect meditation and the prayer for the attainment of the transcendental God of love, are indicated. In the spiritual world, there is no better mode of endeavor for securing the super-excellent rasa-vidyud love.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jainatai Gaurav ki Jai